Well, I'm really shaking because to tell you my story and what I'm about to share with you, it's really not easy. But by the grace of God, I am saved. Amen.
Amen.
And every one of you out there are so serious. And I know that my family know what I'm going to do. So I want to do a quick exercise. I want y'all to stand up. Everybody. Everybody. All right. Now you got your hands. I want you to put them on your stomach. And I want you to do exactly like I show you to do. Now you got to do it. All right. And the reason I did that, you can sit down. I still hear you laughing back here. Now, isn't laughter good?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you first, those that don't know me, my name is Jill Jackson Phipps. I am the daughter of Troy and Jeannie Jackson. I have been to this church my entire life. I guess you can say I'm homegrown. But the reason I did that exercise is I've not always had laughter. And this is a very, very hard story to share with you. I really don't like to revisit it. And it's shocking probably to some of you. But I felt led that my story may help someone else. Now, I grew up in a very loving home. My parents were my best friends, Troy and Jeannie Jackson and Donna. Anybody that knows them would know that they're wonderful, wonderful people. God bless my dad. He's in heaven. And I can hear him right now up there in heaven saying, "Oh, she's going to be mealy-mouthed," you know. He was a hoot. My mother was a hoot her own self. We had laughter in the homes. I don't want you to think any of that. Some of the sneaky little things that she would do. When I was a little girl and my brother, we were driving home from Andrew one day, and back in the 60s, women had their hair fixed and had all fixed up, teased, you know. We were driving home one day, and my brother and I, we always wanted people to think we were rich. And it was a hot summer day, and my mother said, after she'd fixed her hair, "Let's roll up the window in the car, and let's let all these other people on the road think we're rich and we got air conditioning." So here's my brother and I, we rolling up them windows, and it is hot, sweating, and we just smiling at people as they go down the road because they thought we had air conditioning. Well, it wasn't until years later I realized it's because she fixed her hair and she didn't want the wind to blow. Now, see, y'all laughed again. Don't that feel good? Amen. Well, when I was 17 years old, I had a very terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy to occur in my life. I could go and tell you all the details about it, but there's no point in that. I don't want to go that far back, but it was bad. It was really, really bad. The laughter I shared as a child and enjoyed my life, I was broken. I was truly, truly broken. The only two people in my life that really knew what had happened to me were my parents. And I know that God sent them to me, and I was supposed to be born to them, because Lord God knows I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't have been for my parents and also for God. But at that time, I really didn't see that part. I just thought, why in the world do bad things happen to good people? Because I thought I was really good. It was scary. It was a frightful time in my life. And because of that, I fell into a very deep depression. Some of you have had your ups and downs, I'm sure. Some of you have even been depressed. Some of you have even probably been where I have been. But it was so bad that on one winter afternoon, My mother got up from her bed because she was working shift work at that time, and she was going out to the shop where my daddy worked, and she was going to talk with him. And I sat on the edge of their bed, and beside their bed, I was by myself. My dad collected guns, and I opened his nightstand, and I pulled out a pistol. I sat there crying, and I wanted my life over. I had not deserved what had happened to me. I couldn't understand why on earth would God allow me to go through what I went through, and I don't like to revisit it. But I begged him, why, oh, why, oh, why did you do this to me? I don't want this. I picked up that gun, and I had my fingers on the trigger, and I sat there, and I remember the only thing I wanted to do was to blow my brains out, and I wanted that gun to go bam. I wanted to die. But at the whole time, as I'm sitting there crying, I felt the strong hand of a presence upon my own hand. And it seemed like it played forever. It was like everything was in slow motion. And I heard a small, still voice as my hand was being held. No. Jill. No. Well, I'm standing up here to tell you I didn't pull the trigger. But I really wanted to. Now, the depression didn't go away. But I did not shoot myself. But I picked up the pieces. And those of you know Dr. Williford from Lillington, a very good man, he helped me through. He helped me through it. He knew the story that no child should ever have to go through. But I continued around other people to hide behind my mask. No one knew that story but Dr. Williford at that time. I later told my parents the whole thing, and I can remember my daddy saying it's sometimes good when God allows things, the whole story not to be told, because if he did, he probably would be in prison today for murder. So anyway, I got through it, but I still was so depressed. I hid behind a mask. People really didn't know who I was. I'd smile, I'd laugh, I'd carry on, but I was hiding behind a mask because I didn't want people to know just how sad I really, really was. I really was. I can remember telling my mother, I'm never going to get married. I'm just going to be an old maid. I don't want to. From 1977 until 1978 to 1984, I didn't date anybody. I didn't want to date anybody. I had no desire. I didn't want no part of it. No, ma'am. I wanted to go to work. I wanted to come home and stay in the safety bubble of my parents' home because I knew they were going to protect me. Well, that didn't quite work out the way I thought it was going to. My mother would always say, Mr. Wright is just right around the corner. Well, with what had happened to me, I just didn't think there was no such thing. I really didn't. Well, November the 4th, 1984, Mr. Wright, he did come, and that was my husband, Michael Wayne Phipps. Through him, God showed me that a man is kind and good and pure like Michael, that he was really, really good. Not everybody's the same. Well, we got married. But I still would be so sad sometimes, and I just felt so bad. And I'd always think back to that time that I wanted to kill myself. And I'm so glad I didn't, because 8 years after Michael and I were born, on July the 20th, my son Nathan was born. We named Nathan Nathan because his name meant gift from God. And yes, he really was a gift from God. He was actually born on my birthday, actually 34 days to the exact same day I was born. Life was good. Life was really starting to get good. Well, Billy and Ray Bryant, for years, encouraged me to go on the Emmaus Walk. No way, I wasn't going on no Emmaus Walk. Nope. I seen that Jim Jones movie. And let me tell you, I thought I might get over there and can't get out of there. You know, you can't take no watch, can't take no cell phone, you can't do nothing. And I remember, I finally kept feeling the call to go, and I remember, I just don't know about that, and the night before I was supposed to go, I was going to sneak my cell phone in. Then my own son said, well, if you're not going to follow the rules, you don't need to go. So I left my phone at home, and I went without nothing. And I'm going to tell you, that was hard. That was really hard. But I was so glad I went on that Emmaus Walk. And any of you that haven't been, I do encourage you to go. Because Ray and Billy Bryant, I'm going to be honest with you, they have been in my life a long time. And they have said many, 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 many things to me over the years that I will always take to my heart. Billy don't even realize this, but my senior year, she took pictures of Dan and I as we were graduating. And I was going through such a hard time then, but it was almost like she could see through to my soul, you know. It was just uncanny. But anyway, I was glad I went on that Emmaus Walk, but I was scared even when I got there that first night. Now, I told my mother in this, but I sure didn't tell nobody else. That first morning we got up, I remember they brought you a little cup of orange juice and a Dixie cup. And it was sitting in your bathroom when you got up so you could drink it. Well, I'll be honest with you, I didn't drink mine. I remember on that Jim Jones movie at the end, they had the little Dixie cup with Kool-Aid, and I was like, I don't know about this. I poured mine out the sink. But needless to say, I kept the faith because Billy kept saying I would see Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I really did. Because when you go on that Emmaus Walk, I can't tell you everything, but there is one time in that program that I had to be by myself. And I actually saw and I felt the presence of Jesus Christ right before me. And yes, I did see Jesus. I seen him through the people that were there. I seen him through Billy Bryant. I seen things that you just cannot imagine. But as I was there, I was replaying the movie in my mind of when I was 17 years old. And how I wanted life to be over. Because what I had been through was such a tragedy that nobody should ever go through what I went through. I couldn't understand why on earth Jesus Christ allowed that to happen. But it was then I heard Jesus say, now you know why I wanted you to live. My life had a purpose. Had I not lived, I would not have met my husband. And when I tell you he's a good, pure person, he is. He doesn't come to church. I wish that he would. But, you know, we're all work in progress. But he is good. He is a good man. Replaying that movie in my mind, Jesus also pointed out to the fact that Nathan was born. And he came on my birthday, not my husband's birthday, but mine, exactly 34 to the very same day I was born, years later. And he was my present. Of course, it belongs to Michael too, but but he was mine. Over the vast years after that horrible accident that happened and that incident, I was replayed many happy times that happened after that. And God told me I always had a purpose. It was just that I did not see what He had planned for me. And I remember Him saying that to me. And I did see Jesus on that walk. And believe you me, it was a rebirth. I had thought I had been saved before, but I can honestly tell you, when I left that walk that day, I was a new person. And why I was so afraid to go, I can tell you why. Because my mom and my dad always said, when the Lord has you right in the palm of your hand, the devil's there trying to tear it up. And trust me, he was planting those thoughts about, well, you're going to a cult and you might not come back and all that stuff. But I tell you, it's not like that. I can proudly stand up here and say that I am saved, and thank God He did stand before me on that day so many, many years ago and prevented me from pulling that trigger. Because I would not be able to stand here today to tell you what an awesome God we serve. And I learned, even though we still have ups and downs, and I know many of us do, I know I do, but I know that through Jesus Christ, if He brings me through it, I'm going to get through it. If He brings me to it, I'll get through it. And I do. And so, in ending, I want to just say I've learned that we're all going to go through trials, and we're going to go through things. But you know what? When we go through those trials and those tribulations, if we don't go through them, how can we help the next person? You know? I'm not saying I'm thankful that I went through it, but I am saying that I've come a long way. I'm a work still in progress, but through Jesus Christ, I am saved. To end, I want to tell y'all something I read this morning, and I wanted to share it with you. And so it was kind of confirmation that I felt like that it was led for me to tell you this story. And it's in 1 Peter, verse 10 and 11. And it says, after you have suffered a little while, God in all His grace will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. So I want y'all to look at me, and I want you to see me. This is really me. There's no mask. This is me. I am living proof that Jesus walks and is alive. And if any of you are suffering or going through something, you can always turn to Him, and He's there. And I do encourage you, if you've not been on an Emmaus walk, that you do go on it. Because I guarantee you, if you've got scales on your eyes, they'll no longer be there when you leave. If you were blind, you will see. And that's how I learned from there, that Jesus loves me no matter what, good, bad, don't matter. I'm still a child of His. Even though we're all work in progress, because the devil's going to work on us no matter if we like it or not. You just go to bed at night and you thank God that you made it through that day because somebody else didn't. And when you have another day that you can wake up, you got another day to start over and make it right. So, to end, live one day at a time. Sometimes you're going to take one moment at a time. But just know that when you're going through your times, you got Jesus, you know, and you remember that. And when it feels like you can't make it, you keep praying to Jesus, and you keep praying, and you will come out on the other side, because I did. That's it. Amen.
I'm not quite as industrious as Jill. I don't have mine written down today. I've had a really whirlwind week, I guess you'd say. You can tell that by having five kids with me this morning. But I'll tell you something, Rogan, I was going to put this on here. All we really need to do is have the closing from after Jill's sermon. But Rogan sent me this. Dear Billy, I love you. You make my day brighter. Love you, Rogan. God's creation. Jill talked about God's creation. And that's what I was thinking of. We went to the mountains on Wednesday and returned on Friday. It's whirlwind when you go that fast. And just being in the splendor of the mountains themselves, I feel like I'm a little higher to God when I'm that up on the mountaintop. And it was a mountaintop experience. The song that came to my mind, Rayleigh says, I know a song for everything you say, a word. She says a word, I start singing a song, and it aggravates them to death. But how great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Isn't that beautiful? Can't you just hear the majesty of God? They asked us not long ago to tell us our favorite Bible verse. Well, mine isn't a whole verse, because mine's Genesis 1:1, and it's just the first part, in the beginning God. That tells it all right there. In the beginning God. He was here before anything, and he'll be here when we're gone from this place. God created the heavens and the earth, and everything was formless and without form, and emptiness, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And Jill said he was hovering over her. Even when we go through bad things, God's there. He's hovering. He's always with us. I was going to read to you, too, in John, 1 John. I thought I had these things marked. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, from the beginning, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the Word, the life, and the way. And there's no way to God the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what I wanted to tell you all today. We have to have Jesus Christ in our life and accept him. I ask my grandchildren all the time, What does a person have to do to be saved? They have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this earth by a human mother, and that he walked on this earth, he preached, and then he died a human death. But he overcame death and was resurrected, and he did appear not only to the disciples, but to thousands of people, as it's written in the scripture. And we'll come back again. He'll be back. And I just love the way this sweet little lady was talking at the luncheon, the women's luncheon. I forget what that's called. Priority luncheon. And she was so sweet. She was telling her whole life story. And she said that one day he's going to return with the angel shouts and the horns blaring and coming in the clouds. And he's going to take us up to be with him. And she said, but first the dead come out of the graves. And she was just, the way she would help you to visualize those graves opening and the spirits going up. And then those who trust in Jesus Christ and committed to those things I just told you are the ones who will, if they're still alive on this earth, will go just right up and be with him and not experience that death, that earthly death so many have to experience. What a day that will be. That's another song, isn't it? What a day that will be. And my plea to you is like Jill's. You know, we've all shook Jesus' hand at some time in our life. We've heard the name. You know, you meet people and you say, oh, yeah, I know them. I know of them. And, you know, for years in my life, I knew of Jesus Christ. I had the Bible, but I didn't pick it up and read it as I should. And I've been made to look more and evaluate my own life more. I go to Bible studies, a lot of Bible studies. But this private time, when you get in your closet or just somewhere, I have to wait till Ray goes out because he asked me too many questions when he's in the house. I have to wait. He's gone somewhere, and then I can have my quiet time. But you have to have that time so you can hear the Lord speak to you. We're all about talking and words, but you can't hear him if you're busy doing something else. If I've got my mind on a pot jiggling on the stove, or I'm watching the children outside, sometimes it's hard to concentrate, but you have to be quiet, read the scripture, and then let him speak to you through the word. He is the word, the light, and life everlasting. And I invite all of you to understand that and know that and read it. Get to know him. Get to know him. My kids in Sunday school this morning said, why in the world we need to know about these old people who lived so long ago from the Old Testament? I said, we don't hear about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I said, oh, wait a minute, we do. We do, because he keeps saying he's going to send us a Savior. And I said, what word is in the word Savior? And they knew, save. I said, that's right. He came to save us from ourselves, because we have that sin blocking us from the love of God. He can't look on us unless we're covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. If you go to the Passion Play at Benson Grove Baptist Church this spring, at Easter, week before Easter, they'll pass over you with a red sheet. And I'll tell you, I've been through it 3 times, and every time I still get these goosebumps all over me to be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, it is amazing to think of the sacrifice and the love he gave for me, and he gave it for you. So take him in your heart today. Thank you.